B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Choo-choo pitch from Ryan Stanek. On its way home, and a ground ball right side. Gurriel to the bag, and the Astros take game five. And lead this best of seven series 3-2.
Alex, you mentioned 162 and the wild card game and so much, and there seemed like there were other times where your season was going to end. What is it about this group that was able to stay alive, and how do you apply that coming up?
We learned a lot early in the season, right? In the first three games of the season, that it wasn't going to be easy. You just prepare and play the game, and then after that you prepare again for the next day, and you keep moving forward. Obviously here is a lot different because if we don't win the next game, the season is over. But like you said, we've been in this situation before, so nothing is going to change. In the next 24 hours we'll take a look at a few things. We learn from our mistakes and what they do in the last 2 days, and we'll be ready for the next one.
That's Alex Cora after the game last night, and he has a point there that when we've written this team off, they've bounced back every time, starting all the way back in the first weekend of the year. That sweep at the hand of the Orioles, where there were some commentators who actually wanted the team to move. That would be Matt McCarthy. So they've dusted themselves off, pretty much every time, and they're going to have to do it again. And I find it interesting, Maz, that I think Alex Cora is in uncharted territory. It's the first time people are really questioning, his judgment and leadership. And I don't know if people are saying fire the guy or anything like that, but, I think he boxed one up pretty good last night. And it was a really tough decision on Chris Sale, and it was glaring. And it's the first time he's sort of, I think, confidence in him is kind of teetering. So what are your thoughts on this going forward?
Well, so look, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. We talked about all these advantages the Red Sox have had playing at home. They had won, what, 6 or 7 postseason games in a row. They hadn't lost 2 in a row. They bounce back from the losses, take control of series. Like, there's this whole strength and confidence that comes in the face of adversity or defeat that they've had under Cora, and now it feels like it's gone. So here's what I would say. I'll say the same thing I said a couple of days ago. Can it come back? Sure. Yeah. And I think, so now, does Cora have the horses on the pitching staff to pull it off? I don't know. Will he do something stupid and out of character like he did last night? I don't know. I'd like to think the guy learned his lesson and sort of, will now have a more rigid look as far as the pitching staff goes going forward. But the thing that does work in his favor and in the team's favor, their pitching is still better lined up than Houston's is. You got Eovaldi going in the next game. Houston doesn't even have a starter yet.
But their pitching has impressed me. Meaning, I think they've outpitched you the last couple days.
They have.
Their bullpen did, and now they don't use either of the guys that they used in Game 4 and Game 5.
Correct.
So, just help me with the names. I forget all the names.
Okay, Javier is the big reliever.
Javier and Graveman. Yeah. Right, Graveman?
Yeah, Graveman's at the end, so you're going to get him in a closing situation.
Or not. He pitched 2 innings the other day.
Yeah.
So, everything's on the table. I don't know. Those felt like a couple of good arms they had.
So, Graveman is a good arm. I'm just saying, I'm talking about really more the first 6 or 7 innings. And so, Valdez can't pitch tomorrow night. I don't think. I mean, I don't think he's going to give you anything. And so, he was, I look at the other guys and say, well, what are their options to start? Garcia or Keady? So they could go with a bullpen game. I don't rule that out. But you've got Eovaldi going.
Garcia's fake hurt. It's got to be him, right?
So probably. But, again, they boxed him around. He's been awful.
The fake hurt guy. Well, they boxed around the guy yesterday in game one, too.
Okay, but that guy's a better pitcher.
Yeah.
I just think that this kid's I thought he was better than he showed in game one. Last night he pitched probably better than he is. But he's a legit starter. Okay, he's a legit starter. Other than him, I'm not sure they have one. So, again, I don't think it's over.
Oh, I definitely don't think it's over.
But I also think that if Cora's going to be stubborn, then they're not going to win. Okay? Because, again, like him saying last night, I'm not going to change my lineup. That I don't want to hear. Now, he might have said it because it was immediately after the game. And if he's going to sit Hunter Renfro's ass down, he's not going to tell the media first. So it could be that. But if there were ever a time to take a shot and say, you know what? We'll put Schwarber in left. We'll put Verdugo in right or vice versa, depending on how he wants to play it with the Astros lineup. Then put in and take Renfro out and stick Dahlbeck at first base and the chance that he can run into one. We'll do that. You know, we'll take a shot. But to dig in, I think, is the wrong thing to do, and I'd be surprised if he did dig in.
All right, so spotlight on Alex Cora, really for the first time, I think, when it comes to this. No, not the cheating stuff. But anyway, back to your phones. Justin in Malden on the cheating stuff. Go ahead, Justin.
What's up, Felger? How you doing, man? You guys remember how Michael Pineda, you remember the pitcher, Michael Pineda, how he had the temple, right?
Of course.
You saw the nine innings last night. He did it last night. The pitcher cheated for the Astros. I don't know if you guys picked that up watching the game last night, but that's what happened.
Okay, yeah. Murray, your thoughts?
I totally thought so. Yeah, no, I hope MLB cracks down. In fact, just cancel the series now. Give it to the Red Sox. I mean, they're no good dirty cheats. Red Sox clean as a whistle. I thought the same thing watching them.
I think all these pitchers are still loading the ball. Someone showed me a clip online of one of your guys in game one or two. I can't remember who it was. I just can't. But had the glistening neck on a straight line on his neck. Like, no one sweats in a straight line. But this guy had, like, a rectangle of glistening. But it obviously wasn't sweat. It was some goop that he was putting on the ball. I think they all still do it.
Yeah, even if they are. Oh, well, cheat better than them, Red Sox. All right, you can't because your cheating manager can't due to his prior cheating. So they crack down further on him for all his prior cheating. I don't want to hear any more of this. I really don't.
Oh, you're going to hear more of it. Gary in Florida, give him more of it. Gary, speaking to the mic. Hold it like a pizza. Go.
Yeah.
Got you, man. Hey, first of all, I have no issue with what's happening right now with the Sox because it's just a game. That said, Murray's a pompous, annoying idiot, okay? His little tirade just irked me. I'm all the way down in Florida, and I'd like to drive to Florida and give him a piece of my mind.
You're already in Florida,
but anyway, there's nothing worse than a fence sitter with a platform, buddy, and you know it, you know? Mads has forgotten more about baseball than you'll ever know, so why don't you just stay out of all this, okay?
Should I just tell you, go Astros then?
Yeah,
do you want me to pick a side? Go Houston. They're better cheaters than you.
It's just a game, yet then he's all bent out of shape. Yeah. It's not just a game to us. We treat it more than just a game. That's why we care so much. So let's not minimize it when you're on the wrong side of it. We care deeply about this, and that's just how we do it.
Soccer is life. Murray knows where that's from.
Danny Rojas.
Listen, I think the Astros are probably doing something. I think you're probably doing something. I don't deny it. To blame it for the defeat is, boy, that's rich, though. I mean, come on now. Whatever gamesmanship they're doing, you're doing, do it better or take advantage of it more than you are or whatever. When Alex says, we learn things, what do you think he's saying? I think he's saying something similar, which is we got to figure it out, too, and get on the beam, too. I mean, I think he's exactly saying that we got to fight fire with fire.
I mean, Maz, you said earlier that you think that they might have been tipping pitches, the Houston pitchers. And that's okay. Like, if you can pick up on that, take advantage of it. Good. Advantage Red Sox.
Murray, again, stuff that happens on the field without, you know, and again, I don't want television cameras peeking into the catcher and people beating on trash cans, okay? How do you police that? You can't. If a guy's holding his glove a certain way and you pick it up, what are you supposed to do? Not remember it? Like, forget that you ever saw it? You can't do it that way. It's just, it's not realistic. So, to me, there's a certain point there where you just can't prevent some of the stuff that is happening. It's just, that's the way it is.
Dakota in Braintree, what do you got?
Hey, I have a little bit of a different take on, Alex calling out E-Rod, for pointing at the watch. And the way I look at it is this team was free and easy, okay, leading up to that point. I mean, I was there at the game last night. They were listless. They lost. The only life was showed was Sale after he made that strikeout in the fifth, okay? And I think what happened was after Alex called E-Rod out in front of everyone, all the other players took notice and saw and took a step back and said, okay, we have to now be careful. We don't want to do anything to piss off our manager. Something was called out.
Yeah, I got it.
That's the problem. I'm telling you, this goes back. I love Alex Cora. He's a great manager, but there has been things just in-game that he's done, but calling out E-Rod in front of everything and every player seeing that on his own team had nothing to do with motivation. The other teams don't care because it's done to them, but it was directly because Alex called out E-Rod in front of everybody, and Alex should not have done that.
Dakota, it's a good point.
Yeah, maybe they're all tight now because they got, E-Rod got yelled at. It's great.
I mean, I don't know if I agree. I'm just telling you, that's the other side of it, and it's something to consider. Did Alex calling out E-Rod slow their own roll where they were feeling it? Just let them feel it, let them do it, let them be it, want it. let him do it. Instead, he got in the way of their mojo. Again, I don't believe it. I wouldn't want my pitcher doing what E-Rod did. And I think he tempted the gods and all of this crap and, you know, woke up the Astros, if anything. But it's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, Murray, was it Carrabis who said the other night that there were guys on the team that were pissed at E-Rod?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that Carrabis who said that? Yeah. So I just wonder if guys on the team are looking at Eduardo Rodriguez and saying, you idiot, what are you doing? And maybe it was the act that irritated them.
We got JR in Rhode Island. Hi, JR.
Hey, how you doing, Felger and Matt? First time calling. You guys talk all bunch of stuff that makes me want to call in. Last night, early in the game, I don't know, third or fourth inning, there was a light kept going off in center field behind, like, the green mesh.
Yes.
And the ump caught it when the Red Sox were up.
Yes. It's
they
true.
They caught it coming back the next time they were up, too. And
that's right.
Bill Buck was even talking about it. I didn't know if you guys heard anything about
it. Yes, we heard a lot about it. If you listen to the midday show today, Bertrand and Zolak, Hardy talked about this. They talked about this. It was TV cameras. They were doing live shots out in center field. They thought behind a wall that had obscured the light, but it didn't. It was shining through. It's if you ever see a TV camera, they've got this really bright little flip-up light that they put on you to be on TV. And I guess it was coming through, and that's what it was. And so that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what they're telling
us. Now, would it surprise me if on top of the, whatever, Bob Halloran stand-up out there, the Chris Gasper Channel 5 stand-up out there, that there's a operative from the Astros also flashing a light to signal fastball curveball? I would buy that too, because I think they're all screwing around doing something.
Yeah, that looked like dot, dot, dash to me, Felger. That's what it looked like. I think it was Morse code.
Yeah, I was in the military. I know Morse code. I know what they were doing.
Jimmy, yeah, give me Morse code for FB, which is fastball.
Give me core number 12. He talked about this. He was asked about it.
Alex, what was that delay about with the umpires? You're pointing to center, and
there was something in the wall in center field. It looked like a light or whatever. So, somebody noticed it in dugout. It wasn't a big deal, but you just to let them know that was there. I don't know if the hitter was able to see it, whatever. So we just let him know.
Huh. So, Alex, by the way, I'm just curious. How come Houston feels so comfortable at plate and has been hitting so well the last couple of games?
They made some adjustments.
I do love the stuff because I don't know. I find it fun, but I think they're all doing something. I really do. I think the sport is just too ingrained in the sport for them to ever be able to stop.
I mean, that again, Mike, there are a million things you can watch on a playing field and know what. I mean, I remember thinking as soon as the middle infielders move, you know where the pitch is supposed to go. Like, if they shift to the right side, it's, and depending whether you're a lefty or a righty, it's a pitch coming on the inner half. In all likelihood, it's off speed in some way, shape, or form. If it's a left-handed batter, it's a fastball. If it's a righty, like, more often than not, like, you know that, so at least you know location and you can adapt to it.
Okay, cheating or no, one of the guys that is just absolutely killing you, we'll get to him and thoughts on it right after these words.
They made some adjustments.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mez.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Valdez induced 11 ground ball double plays during the regular season. That was tied for second most on the Astros behind Greinke's 18. Hunter Renfroe struck out his first time. The Red Sox last night 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They left 11 on in game 4. Might be 2. Correa flips out over to first. Got them both. And that is what Valdez gets. Ground balls, and he turns this one into a twin killing. 2 out.
Well, if that was the message Dusty delivered, it worked. And a 2-0 pitch with first and second, nobody out. That just shows you the quality of his late-breaking sinker. A strike hits the inside corner to Renfroe, 0-for-2.
and now 1-for-13 in this ALCS. 1-2. Might be two. Altuve, Correa, double play. Second turn tonight. Second one hit into by Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro, man, you really think Alex Cora is not going to make a move there?
I wouldn't rule it out. I've seen managers get stubborn there with, you know, our lineup is the right one based on this matchup, and we're going to ride it out. And so I would hope that Renfro is out. I mean, I've had enough of Renfro.
But you're right. He did tip it off. If you just want to hear it, Cora, number four, Jimmy, last night, let's hear it.
You know, 2-0 count, he tried to do too much on that pitch, right? We had two runners on, and just a fastball. Actually, it was a good pitcher hit. It was up in the zone, one of the few. And, you know, he flew open and then hit the ball on the ground and roll over. So it's one of those that, you know, obviously we didn't like it, but this is a guy that, you know, throughout the season, he's done an amazing job, you know. And he's played great defense for us. He's been good offensively. So, you know, we'll keep rolling them out there.
Keep rolling them out there. That was the line.
Yeah, so look, I'm telling you, believe me when I tell you, they wanted to strangle him after that at bat. And I don't have anybody telling me that. I just know all year long, what have they been saying? Take what they give you, hit it the other way. They've been saying it all year long, and these guys still lapse into these stupid mistakes.
Especially that spot. That was your one threat against that guy. First and second, nobody out, 2-0 count. You know, just a productive at bat, move him.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I considered even bunting there.
Absolutely.
It crossed my mind.
Absolutely, and I would have bunted.
And I knew they wouldn't because I said, well, now you're going to try to trust this guy to bunt? Like, what are the chances that that rockhead can get a bunt down? And I'm sorry to keep picking on Renfro this way. I just think he makes stupid mistakes.
But this is another case how the game has just changed. You know, back in our day, Maz, that's an automatic. It's the bottom of the lineup. First and second, nobody out. And his Renfro, is he your eight hitter?
Well, so against lefties, I think they've been hitting him after Martinez. So it's what, fifth?
Okay, sixth? So that's a little high. But either way.
But even so, like I think that, you know, given the way the game was going, that to me was a big factor. It looked like it was going to be a 1-0, 2-1 game. You know, Sale was pitching well to that point. The other guy was mowing you down. He was mowing you down. You couldn't make good contact. And so the only guy who was making good contact in that game, at least, you know, was turned out to be Devers. That was it. And this was, you know, before he hit one off the foul pole. But you look at it at that stage and you say, you're gonna have to get a sack fly or something to get a run home.
Okay, there's that on the table as well. Let's zip through these calls. Ryan and Malden, go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, yeah, the Red Sox, man, they need a... phone got messed up. Yeah, they play better when they're backed up against the wall. You know, just like the last series. You know, when they're down, they have to.
So let's see it. John Tomasi called them the worst front runners in all of sports.
They're up there.
So let's see. I'm not writing them off. You don't hear me saying that. I think, you know, again, as mentioned it, their pitching should be, the Houston pitching has impressed me the last couple of days, but you still should have the edge there. You do have the right guy on the mound in game six. And just mentality-wise, this team is good when you write them off. And so, there you go. I'm not writing them off. Alan in Florida. Go, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, as I know how much baseball, you know, they named Garcia to pitch 3 days ago. He was going to pitch this game. And Graveman is not the closer. Presley is, but he was the closer for Seattle. Anyway, I just wonder if, you guys are like in the real world. First, he's coughing, and that changed it. Now what Rodriguez did, now the Red Sox. I mean, this is absurd. That is totally absurd. Just as absurd as you guys, you Mike, with this thing about old people. You know, it's laughable. Look at these people in the stands. Look at every single city in the playoffs, other than Milwaukee, where when you're older, you know, you get the hell out of the city and they won't come back.
Alan, you got to give me one thing here. You've just mentioned like 20 things. Just give us one take, please.
Okay, one thing. I think you guys are absolutely out of reality about this thing with the old people. The ratings are up. The playoffs have been good.
We're not talking about that today. We'll do that another day. The state of the game and all of that. Okay? Why are you calling me about that today?
Can I just give you a quick thing? Dusty Baker, the first question he got last night in the postgame was, who's pitching game six? And he said, we haven't decided yet. Okay, so that's what I'm going by. I read the transcript the first thing this morning. It was the first question he was asked. He said, we have not named a starter for game six.
Well, maybe if Allen wasn't so old, he would have been on top of that. Sorry, old man. Brian in South Carolina. Hi, Brian.
What's up, boys? Hey, listen. I'm so over the Hunter Renfro show. He's a moron, and I haven't been this angry with the player since back when we had Helmet Head. What's his name? That guy.
Who's Helmet Head?
I don't know. I like it, though.
Okay.
John Olerud. John Olerud. He's the only Helmet Head I remember. He was never a Red Sox.
That could be Gomes.
I don't know who he's talking about, but either way, Hunter Renfro.
Oh, my gosh. Again, it's one thing to say there's a guy who you find maddening because for whatever reason, okay, he strikes out a lot, he does this, he does that. This guy's mistakes are brain locks. They are brain locks. It's, you know, throwing to the wrong base, overthrowing a cutoff man, taking a horrible approach at the plate, making stupid mistakes. You have to have some awareness in that game last night of what kind of game it is and what is required to win it. He has none. He just goes up there trying to jack the ball. And look, there are stretches during the course of the year where he hit the ball to the opposite field. That's when he's been at his best. Like, those are the time you look at him and say, okay, light has dawned over Marblehead. But otherwise, half the other time you look at him and go, is this guy playing the same game everyone else is?
Julian and Millis. Go ahead, Julian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to know what you guys' thoughts were on whether or not Major League Baseball, behind closed doors, even cares about cheating. I mean, I know that they've made great attempts to make the public feel like they're cracking down, from PEDs to goo, but they've yet to implement any type of consequence that's so great that teams and individuals feel like cheating's not worth the rewards. Just want to know what your thoughts are there. Thanks.
Yeah, I think, Julian, that they want to, but they are afraid to really take on the union, the players' union. And the players' union's so strong in that sport, and everything is collectively bargained, and they can't make substantive rule changes unless the players agree to it. And they have a new CBA coming as well. And I think that they tiptoe around everything with the union, mostly because Manfred is a weak commissioner. That's taken me too long to come around to, but what baseball, the sport, needs is someone that's going to come in and go to war with the union and take them on and force changes that have to be made in the sport. And Rob Manfred's not the guy to do it. And I think that all goes back to the cheating thing. They'd come down harder, but I mean, just look at the Astros and the Red Sox thing. They gave all the players immunity because they didn't want to take on the union. They didn't want to take on the players. So the managers took the fall. The GM took the fall in Houston, all of that. No players got a scratch because that would have been a union issue, and they don't want to do it. So that all, it's a long way of saying, are they really cracking down on the cheating? No, not really, because the players aren't being held accountable on it.
No, they're not. And look, again, you know, someone said earlier, you put people in the dugout. That might help prevent some of it.
Not really.
They'll hide it.
They'll put them in the stands.
Yeah. I mean, they'll no, not only that, but I mean, they will, you know, let's say there's whistling coming from the dugout. So a guy can't whistle to cheer on his teammate. Like, and how do you know when he's whistling to signal a sign when he's not?
Right. Or if you clap. Clap means the fastball.
Like, right. So again, there's no way to prove it. You say, no, I was just clapping. What the hell are you talking about? So there's a certain amount of it that they say, you know, at the end of the day, we can't prevent them from looking and seeing things. Like, you know, and if they're able to pick up on things on the field. Now, again, the electronic stuff was going, you know, we wouldn't even have to have that discussion because I think we all agree on it. But if guys are picking up, you know, pitches being tipped and people lining up in certain, how do you stop that? You can't.
Big Jim Murray has an update. We are going to mix in some other topics today, okay? We just did a straight hour and a half of baseball, and it's going to be on the table all day long. But we just want to mix in a few other little things, give us a little Red Sox breather. I got a Bruins minute for you coming up, and a thought on Mac Jones and the Patriots' identity. That's all coming up after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's Yano with a puck behind his net. 2 seconds left in this one, and the horn is going to sound. The Philadelphia Flyers separate tonight, scoring 3 goals in the third period to break a 3-3 tie, and the Bruins suffer their first loss of the season. Your final tonight, Flyers 6, Bruins 3.
He's not going to be perfect every night, and clearly he wasn't tonight. Not his best.
we needed some saves there when we broke down. That's it. I just didn't give us when we needed them. Our breakdowns were bad in front of them. Wasn't a lot of quantity, but high quality. Just mistakes from the back end. That it's losing hockey, Steve, is what it is. It's how you lose games. You do dumb things, and they good teams come back at you, and they finish, and that's what happened.
Okay, quick Bruins minute, if you're paying attention. There's so much on last night. It's great in a way, and also tough in a way. You try and watch three things and end up watching none. But if you watch any of the Bruins last night, that was not pretty. Not pretty at all. If Jeremy Swayman gives up 5 goals on 24 shots.
Yep.
In what was easily the worst game of his young career, the worst I've ever seen him play. The defense in front of him sucked. He sucked. And it was a cautionary tale. And I said this last night. But somewhere, Don Sweeney or Cam Neely are sitting there saying, oh, you guys really wanted to roll with the rookie goaltender this year and not have anyone else behind him and not have another stopgap behind a rookie goaltender? Oh, okay. Well, let's see how that works out. And that's exactly what Sweeney and Neely were afraid of, games like last night.
Yeah, so the thing that I'm interested in now is to see how Swayman responds, right? Because, again, it easily his worst game. So and the D play in front of him, and again, I saw a limited amount of that game. For obvious reasons. But it looked to me like that Clifton had a tough night.
Scary. Riley had a bad night.
Yep.
This forward, I was hoping was going to be like this big type defender with some like meanness to a game. I haven't seen that in the two games.
Scary. So it's kind of a scary outing. They held the Stars to one goal on the opener Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's only two games in. So, there's no conclusions here. It's just sort of, a jumping off point. I mean, I'm going to treat the goaltending as a one-off. God, I've never seen Swayman look like that. And so the goaltending is not going to be that bad. I worry that the defense might be that bad. Like, that is not a conclusion based on last night. That's not an assessment based on last night. That was what we all said going into the year. That was what we all said coming out of the offseason, that they didn't do enough back there.
No, it's just too soft, too small. When McAvoy's their heaviest hitting defender that they have, I mean, how can you not be concerned? Just given his size and who he is, you know?
So it's just those are the issues on the team. The goaltending, I'm not worried about yet. But score one for, I guess, just a very small sample there. Score one for Neely and Sweeney saying, we can't put all our chips in this basket. He's too young and not ready. And, okay, you saw. I mean, that's the first time I've ever seen it, but I didn't see it last night. That was scary. That was shaky. From him. Now let's see what Linus has. He gets his first start in Buffalo on Friday against his former team. Hopefully he looks better than he looked in the preseason, and they're on to something there, and we'll see how that goes. And Murray's already coined it. Boy, that was good.
The bees will start Linus.
Very good. I love it.
So this and is, the bees will start Linus. Linus Ullmark.
Real quick Bruins minute. I just want to follow up on something real quick because I went on this rant last week about the TNT pregame show and the did I mention that they have Wayne Gretzky on set?
Oh my
set?
God, Wayne Gretzky looked so great on TV last night with that hair dye.
Oh my God,
it's like soy sauce hair.
Did I mention that we have Wayne Gretzky? Oh my God, Wayne Gretzky was so great.
He said nothing.
Did we mention we have Wayne Gretzky? So I went on this big TNT thing last week. I did hear something last night that made me chuckle and gave me hope, and I just want to be fair because I enjoyed the little snippet. And so I want to give him a little bit of props.
This is Wayne Gretzky, right?
No, this is between periods. And they had done a little thing on the Bruins' erection line there, and how they're playing off each other and Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron. And the usual, Bergeron line ball washing kind of thing. Anson Carter, look at their positioning. Look at how great they look here and blah, blah, blah. And Wayne Gretzky, again, came on, said nothing. They always have two men high, so they're never getting beat on two-on-ones back down the ice, which wasn't true because they did start to get beat back down the ice, which Paul Bissonnette?
Yeah,
so Paul Bissonnette then pointed out. And there was a little exchange that caught my ear. So go ahead. First of all, Paul Bissonnette has, thank God, corrected Wayne, which I think he had the wrong call on them not giving up 2-on-1s going the other way. But just roll the cut.
They did, a few times later in the period. I mean, when you start cooking a little bit offensively and things seem to be going easy, I think they were out shooting them 8-2 at the time. I hate to use the term, but you get a little horned up offensively, right? You get cheating on it. That's what my coaches used to say.
Banana man horned up.
That's what my coaches used to say. Wayne, they ever said you get a little horned up offensively cheating with the F3? No.
I was cheating offensively every shift. Simple as that.
Well, and they gave a few up. I mean, you saw Farabee had one, especially the one shorthanded, and then he ends up cashing in later in the period. So I guess I'll shut up now.
No, everything you said there was the truth, except for the fact that you said you hate to say the term horned up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happened.
You don't hate it.
I love it.
Okay, I laughed. And I liked that he kind of corrected Wayne Gretzky and his whatever, his name, because it's all he is there. And I just filed it under, well, NBC never would have done that.
No.
Liam McHugh actually said horned up. He repeated it. He repeated what Bissonnette said. And somewhere an NBC executive is going, oh my God, they can't say that. And so a little more life, a little more edge there. And again, I've watched very little snippets of it, but I just wanted to be fair because I ripped the thing to shreds last week with the Wayne Gretzky stuff. And I sort of heard that. And I went, okay, maybe there's a little something there. And it's certainly something you wouldn't hear on NBC. Yes, Maz?
Oh, no, I think you got a little horned up listening to it. I think happened. I think that's really what you're getting at.
There's your Bruins Minute. Long commercial-free segment is next. I got a developing Mac Jones opinion for you as well. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, a little Mac Jones topic here before we get back to the calls and the Red Sox. First of all, it seems like a weekly thing here. We sort of check in on his press conference and see if his voice has dropped at all.
Or yeah, see what he's got to say or and stuff.
Yeah, stop saying and stuff. I guess we're making fun of him kind of, but not really. It's just getting to know the kid and
We like him.
No sacred cows. So we make fun of everybody. We'll make fun of him too a little bit, but just again to see. Just check in with him in his weekly press conference. This week's topic is his pregame routine and pregame meal and things like this. And is he learning, you know, is he evolving? Is he coming more? Is he getting with the program there in the NFL?
By the way, was there one, like, legitimate question? Did you read the whole transcript?
Yeah. I thought there was.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, what, him preparing for the Jets on a Monday?
Yeah, I mean,
didn't do it for you?
No, I thought the whole thing of like his, you know, his meals and I understand what they were getting at, but it was like, all right, can we actually ask him about being 2-4 and sucking?
Well, should we go down there and start asking questions?
Sure.
No way. I'm not doing it.
My mom makes me SpaghettiOs and stuff.
Well, let's get right. Well, on that, number three, Mac, is there a specific meal that you eat before every game?
I would just say like spaghetti. Is my go-to high school, college, and then now, and even when I was young, we would always just eat spaghetti before the games to get a carb load, so just keep it simple.
SpaghettiOs was close there.
I'm glad I went into this fresh. I hadn't heard that. That's great.
I would just say, like, spaghetti.
We say it every week, but I'm sorry, his voice hasn't dropped yet. It's like... My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, totally. 100%. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say Chef Boyardee. Yeah.
I like him. I would just say, like, spaghetti.
Maybe mix in some chicken nuggets with honey mustard.
Here's a response number one, Jimmy, about, you know, has he changed his routine since he got to the NFL?
The key is just sticking to it and trying to make adjustments, but don't change too much. Like, a lot of people who have good routines, they... stick with it, regardless of their feelings. They just do what they're supposed to do, and then, you know, maybe they make an adjustment if it's something new, but most people just stick to what they do, and just people are creatures of habit, and that's how the world works.
I just felt that last line. We often say he sounds like a sixth grader in front of the class reading a book report. I felt that last line was almost literally something you say in a book report.
Oh, most yeah. people just stick to what they do, and just people are creatures of habit, and that's how the world works.
And that's the way the world works. Yeah. Thank you.
It did. It had totally had that feel. And that's the way the world works.
That's how the world works.
Thank you.
There's the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches, and that's how America works.
I would just say, like, spaghetti.
I don't mean to make fun.
No, it's so cute.
It's kind of endearing. It's kind of cute.
I told you, he is. He's likable. He is. He's so green. He is a likable kid. Well. And it's just funny. You sort of look at him and go, oh, good job, Mackie.
we do this every week, and it's like, I don't mean to nitpick the kid, but it is. I do find it funny. And I do find him likable and all of it. I don't mean to rag on him. But boy, does he sound like he's 12 years old, reading a book report in front of the class. What'd you have for lunch, Mackie? Spaghetti.
I would just say, like, spaghetti.
It's too good to be true. Okay, all of it being said.
Yeah.
Here's the Mac Jones topic. We're going to do more of it on TV tonight if you want to tease for the Holly Show, the Mike Holly Show tonight. Maybe we'll do this more tomorrow. But I really think it's time to turn the team over to Skippy Magoo there. I really do. It stems from this, Maz. What did the Patriots think and want their identity to be going into the year? What did we think it was going to be?
Running the ball and playing defense.
That's it. Okay? Big, a bully ball offensive line. Run the ball. Turn it over to your defense. Let the kid not get in the way. Hand off, play action, running game, defense. Physical. That was the identity of the team.
Right. Protect them.
They can't do any of that. Their offensive line blows. Their defense is a sieve. And the running game has been a real, almost a non-factor. So you know what it's time to do, Maz? It's time to turn the team over to Mac Jones. It's time to turn the team, because they're not going to win games the way they set out to win games. Their defense isn't good enough, and their offensive line isn't good enough. So they can't win games that way. It's time to throw the ball and to, quote-unquote, go back to your old offense, meaning the last couple years here under Brady. Throw the ball. Play bend but don't break, GTFB on defense, and it's time to turn the identity of the team over to Mac Jones. And this isn't a perfect analogy, so please don't tell me why one isn't like the other, because I know it's not like the other. But I just I did think of, and we all remember this if you're of a certain age. And in 1994, the Patriots are scuffling along. I think they're 3-6 under Bledsoe, who is in his second year, not his first. But either way, they were scuffling along at 3-6, and they're down 20-0 to the Minnesota Vikings at home. We all remember this game. And Parcells at halftime said, F it. Go ahead. And he put Drew in the shotgun, and Bledsoe threw 70 times, and they came back and won that game. And I sort of, like, we all sort of think of that as the beginning of the Drew Bledsoe era. And there was a time where Parcells just turned it over to Bledsoe. He said, go. And I don't know if that's in the offing here for Mac Jones, 70 attempts and all of this, but I think we're kind of at that changing of the guard with the Patriots.
So I love the idea. Again, and, you know, I think they won the game in an overtime pass to Kevin Turner, if I remember right. It was a touchdown.
He threw 70 times.
45 of 70 in that game, if I remember right.
But it was just, they had reached a point where they said, all right,
screw it.
Go.
Yeah, screw it. And again, I love the idea. There's one thing that would concern me. Can you protect him? Will he get killed? So that's the one thing that concerns me about it. But if you're telling me we're going to put him back there, give him more time to read, the ball's going to come out faster, I'm in.
I just think the identity that you set up for this team has failed.
Yep.
It's not working.
They don't really have one right
now. They don't have one. Right. Yeah. They wanted it to be running and defense. And Bill's still managing these games. Like, we're going to run the ball, set up manageable third down, and turn it over to our defense. He played that way against Tampa. He played that way against Dallas when he had chances to win. And I still think they're mapping out these games as if that's how they're going to win them. And it's not working. All it does is get you close in some of these games. So I think it's time to turn it over to the kid.
I mean, I like the idea. And I'll tell you what, especially if they're, you know, Bedard mentioned this the other day when he was here, Greg Bedard, about how Owenu ended up at right tackle, and it feels to me like they're reconfiguring that offensive line. So if they can become a better pass-blocking line, let them whip it.
Okay, so there's your Mac Jones segment. We will come back after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here, and take your calls on everything we've hit on so far today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.